Every year, monarch butterflies travel thousands of miles, and researchers continue to be simply amazed by the animal's journey. This week, Ozarks at Large's Christina Karnatz talked to Donald Steinkraus, our OAL insect expert, about one of his favorite subjects.
There's a western population which migrates, they're sort of west of the Rockies, and they migrate down to certain places in California. And so that's one population. Then there's a population which encompasses the whole eastern North America, and that's the one that goes to Mexico. So our monarchs would go to Mexico, but so would Minnesota's and Maine's and Vermont, Delaware's, all that eastern seaboard population. So it's a very vast area, and they make this. Really, it's pretty remarkable, 2,000 to 3,000-mile migration. The little butterfly itself only weighs about half a gram, 500 milligrams. So for this very small animal to fly up to 3,000 miles, that's impressive.
So it's the same group of monarchs that start, that finish.
Not sure what you mean.
Well, I mean, they're able to make the whole entire journey.
Right, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. That fall generation, there's four generations of monarchs a year. So the fall generation in Minnesota, which I'm familiar with because I go to Minnesota in the summertime, that generation that's raised in Minnesota in, say, late August, early September, those ones leave Minnesota and fly, in that case, about 2,000 miles down to this precise area of Mexico in the central Mexican mountainous forests. And so those ones make that entire trip.
At which point do they procreate?
Oh, you're funny. I've actually seen them mating on the way to Mexico. And I'm not certain about all of that, whether they mate much while they're down there in the forests of Mexico or when they leave. But I think it occurs sort of at various points. But definitely when they leave the forests of Mexico, the females are mated and are fertilized. And then those females leave the Mexican forests really early in the spring, probably February, March, and start making their way up north. So those monarchs have lived a long time, much longer than any other monarchs, where they've lived about 5 months. So they leave Minnesota, let's say, early September, get to Mexico around late October, early November, overwinter, and then leave in early spring.
And go back and...
And then they fly up through Texas and Arkansas. I saw some early this year looking very beat up. Because they're not young anymore, they're old, and they've had to fly, you know, this long distance down to Mexico, overwinter, and then fly quite a ways back up through Texas and Arkansas, and hopefully laying eggs along the way on milkweeds.
And so if they're laying eggs along the way, when the group leaves in September, are they picking up monarchs along the way that join their group?
That's right, yeah. Okay. The millions upon millions. In the best years, people estimate that up to a billion monarchs overwinter in Mexico. Unfortunately, that whole phenomenon is falling apart a bit. So in the best years that they've recorded, they've been recording this for about 20 years, up to a billion, sometimes 500 million, but in 2012, I believe, they only recorded 60 million monarchs down there, which is still a lot of monarchs, but way down from a 500 million to a billion. And in 2013, they think there were only 30 million monarchs overwintering in Mexico. So they think the phenomenon might be lost, this mass migration, for a number of reasons. What was your question?
Oh, about picking up extra or picking up monarchs along their way.
So it's sort of like, you know, everybody coming to a music festival, you know, from all over Northeast United States. These monarchs are flying, like I say, so all across from Maine, Vermont, Delaware, Virginia. They're all funneling down to Mexico. So they're picking up all the monarchs that are there.
So you can actually see in places at certain times, a large group of butterflies flying together?
Absolutely. You know, I haven't seen it a lot. I remember one fall, and I can't remember how long ago it was, but I saw thousands of monarchs migrating through Arkansas. You could see them up high in the sky. You could see them down low, and they were moving southward and westward.
But you've only seen it once.
I've only seen that once where I've seen large numbers. Now, every year I see some coming through and feeding on nectar plants in Arkansas. And that brings up an important point. It's extremely important for people to plant nectar-bearing flowers for that fall migration. They have to replenish their sugar reserves from nectar, which then they turn into fat, which they use to overwinter. So they have to refuel, just like I compare it to a car. If you're on a 1,000-mile journey or a 2,000-mile journey, you have to stop at a gas station every couple hundred miles and refuel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And exactly the same for the monarchs. They have to refuel all along the way, both going their southward journey and their northward journey.
Well, so it's spring right now. You know, we have lots of colorful plants that and flowers that people are planting in their gardens. But for the fall, I know a lot of people plant like mums and things like that for that fall color. What other types of plants should we be planting in September for the monarchs?
Goldenrods, mm-hmm. asters, buddleia, which is non-native, but buddleia is a great nectar plant, and I see the monarchs in the fall often on buddleia. So really during that sort of September period, I'd say during September, it's really important that monarchs can refuel. And so if you can plant these things that have nectar, that'll be very important for them to, you know, stop, visit, drink nectar, and then fly on further. They have to have that all the way, both directions. And if they don't, they're in trouble.
And when they get back and they've, you know, laid their eggs and are the females die and the life cycle continues?
Right, yeah. The females that overwintered probably don't live too long. They probably live like a month or so.
They said that they were beat up.
They're beat up. Yeah, they look pretty faded. They lay their eggs. And so that also raises an important point that they absolutely have to have milkweed plants. And milkweed is one of those plants which is misnamed. It's called milkweed. People think because it's called weed, it's a weed. It is not. It's a native. There's a whole group of native wildflowers. There's about 11 species of milkweeds in Arkansas. There's about 100 in the nation as a whole. And that's the only thing monarch butterfly larvae eat. Nothing else. They have to have milkweeds in order to reproduce. And that brings up one of the reasons why there's a decline in milkweed butterflies or monarch butterflies. We've put vast areas of our continent into genetically modified organisms, soybeans and corn in particular, which are raised throughout what used to be prairie in Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois. And the farmers herbicide their fields with these Roundup Ready plants. That kills all the milkweeds in what used to be, you know, more of a mixture of plants, not just corn, but there'd be milkweeds. And so we've reduced the habitat for milkweed dramatically. People think there's like 60% less milkweeds present in the United States than there used to be just about 10, 20 years ago. So there's a lot of factors reducing the milkweed population and therefore
the monarch population.
Yeah.
So where can I get and plant milkweed?
Well, there is a thing called Monarch Watch, which is mm-hmm. giving away free seed for your area. You can write to them and they'll send you seeds which you can plant. You can buy them from some of the native plant nurseries. You can gather seeds in the summer when you see a milkweed plant that's got its pod full of those beautiful seeds which form these winged, fluffy things that float around. You can gather those and plant them.
Dr. Donald Steinkraus is an entomologist at the University of Arkansas, and he talks about insects with Ozarks at Large's Christina Karnatz almost every month.